Hello and welcome back to Midnight Grappler Animals. My name is Salt. With me, I have two collectors of comics. We have on my right, Keegan with his big old read pile, and we have Lan with his old read pile. They both have unwieldy large read piles. Today, we will go through the piles lightning style, talk about why they got these books, did they enjoy these books, and what's going wrong that they've amassed such massive piles. Gentlemen, are you ready?
First off, I don't like that you called me the C word.
Yeah,
I do not appreciate being called the C word.
Up with a really rude, that was a slur.
That's a slur.
You said it like a slur.
That is a slur.
You said it like a slur too. I haven't even seen Fantastic Four the film yet. Okay, so
you said collector with a hard R, man. That's crazy.
I don't know why you're coming at us like that so quick.
It's not my fault.
Did you read all these books?
Did I? Yeah. So I'm a reader. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You are no longer a collector.
He sat his white ass down and read.
Lan, did you read all your books?
Yes, with an apostrophe. No, wait, yes,
lying?
With an asterisk. Sorry. I'm not all lying. Right, well, I'm not lying.
Lan, I might have to drop the slur again. You're a collector. Did not hit the
hold
hard
on.
R.
Hold on. Oh. All I'll Yell say back. Is by the time we get to my section, I will have read everything.
Okay.
So in that case, we should probably start with Keegan's to buy me time.
Lan needs to dodge some allegations. I can work with that. Keegan, what do you got? Okay. What are you starting with?
I think I'll split it into digital and print because the real reason I read so much is because... you know, comics has such a good digital wonderland of access to new comics for very reasonable prices. And so that's really why I read as much as I do.
So Keegan, before you start, could you give us a number of how many single issues are going to be covered here?
Sure. Let me count.
Because I do want to know that while I might have more in terms of volume, Keegan definitely has more in terms of breadth.
You have the wider breadth. I think there's 27 here.
27. Okay, so you're just a bit less than me. A bit less than me.
Yeah. Yeah, 27 total. Actually, it almost looks like it's like half and half digital and print. But I'll start with the digital. So the digital is... A big thing is digital, I kind of tried to like... I don't want to own 34 issues of Poison Ivy in print. Peace and love. I love the series, but that's like a short box on its own, basically. So I guess I'm starting with Poison Ivy. It's like a series I love. I follow monthly. And it's cool. It's doing like terrorist stuff now. You know, she's a revolutionary. She's killing cops. It's nice. I do think the latest issue kind of... like is extending the series a little bit too much, but I do follow digitally and I do have all of the issues digitally, like on a in a folder, because eventually I'll read it again. Good series.
So just to clarify here, when you say digital and folder and collection, how much of your read pile here is stuff that you bought, you paid money for?
Okay, like percentage wise, I think about half. But
okay,
yeah, probably about half. To make me
now,
confess to,
save
to breaking
now,
the law.
No, hold on. To save Keegan's ass here, he is a reviewer. Oh, which is another slur.
Yeah, that's okay.
So Lan's allowed to say it. That's the thing.
I have it in my bio. Yeah, Lan's allowed to say it.
I'm allowed to say it. I got
it
the
is
pass.
A slur, but he's allowed to say it.
Yeah, so you're a reviewer, so these are all review copies that are in your collection, of course.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. DC, you know, great review
awful
copies
trademarks
from DC.
And all. We love watermarks, folks. We absolutely love them.
Anyway... away from a distasteful conversation. Poison Ivy, good. I will follow that book until it ends, and then eventually I'll probably own it in whatever the largest collection format they put out. Along those lines, Hunger in the Dusk. As I typed out Hunger in the Dusk. Great series. It was on hiatus for forever. Then it wasn't supposed to come back for the rest.
What is this series? Is it like who's the creative team?
It's Chris Wildgoose is drawing it, and it is also G. Willow Wilson writing it. It's
is
fantasy.
This a Dark Horse
it's,
book.
It's IDW, which is probably why it got fucked over so crazy.
Makes sense.
There it was. So it just like literally disappeared after issue 2 of the second volume. Nobody knew it was going to come back. And then suddenly it was they're putting it out digitally, the last 4 issues, and then they'll do the trade. I hadn't read this book in like 6 months, but it's real good. It's a really good book. It's supposed to be ending soon, and then the second volume should be out. I actually just bought the first volume in print. It's on my shelf. I'll read it eventually again. Really good though. Love that book. Book of the year kind of book. Then I got Superman. This was another one that I kind of shot called. I didn't want to own this in print at all, but I am following every issue. So we're up to 28. Williamson's good at the dumb superhero stuff, but like his Superman's actually been solid. Like I've dropped a lot of other books. I've dropped like most of the Ultimate line at this point. But not Superman. Superman's actually like solid, I think. For me anyway, I am fine with it. The current arc is more, a lot of the book too is just like fantastic artist after fantastic artist.
You mentioned Mora?
Mora's on it now for this current arc. And then he was on it. He had too much going on because he was slotted for the last arc, but I think he only did the first 3, then he dipped. I think he's on for this next arc because it's like the next part of the All In nonsense. It's like the Legion of Darkseid or whatever. So,
and then he's off to the mines in Transformers.
I mean, yeah, the other mines, the mines owned by someone else. So,
yeah.
But it's cool. I like it. I like it fine anyway. Do I have any more? Oh, Absolute Wonder Woman and Superman. I was going to drop Superman. I was 100% like, I'm done with Absolute Superman. And then I read the Brainiac issue and I was like, fine, I'll stick with it. And now I'm like in the Ra's al Ghul stuff they're doing. So they got me back. They held on to me. And then Absolute Wonder Woman's an actually good book. Would I have... I don't think there is a reality where I would have bought that one in print, though. I did not trust Kelly Thompson at all. Sherman was someone who I kind of liked before. There was no way I was going to be in on those first 5 issues without having read the first 5. So I'm fine with it being digital. Eventually, I'll have it in print, though. Probably. Maybe. We'll see. There's a lot of books I've said that about. Hopping over to Marvel, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Hold on.
Interrogate me.
Don't you also have Absolute Batman?
Yeah, but I buy that in print.
That's okay.
I buy that one in print. Yeah, you could get mad at me about that in a minute.
No, I mean it's just funny, you know. It's just funny.
I love that book. I don't even care. It's
Absolute Wonder Woman. You're like, I don't know, maybe I get some print. Absolute Batman. No. I was like, yep, this is my 10th issue I've bought in print.
Yeah, Absolute Batman.
All right, we've clarified the issue. Let's continue with your digital purchases.
Okay, Ultimate Spider-Man. Yeah, in quotes. Okay, Ultimate Spider-Man,
which is also on my list.
Oh, right. I don't need to talk about this. We can talk about it later. I'll read it till Hickman's done with it. If Kate's goes on it next, I will continue reading it.
Oh, man.
It will remain on my digital pile, though. Iron Man 10. I'm sad that it's ended. It feels like it got the same treatment as the last volume of Black Panther, where there was probably another arc here that just ended when they ended the series. So a little sad.
Hey, don't cry because it's ending. Over. Smile because it happened.
Sabrina Carpenter.
Smile because there's a new Iron Man book that's coming out in 3 months that's tied into some X-Men bullshit.
I mean, that's the thing too, though, right? Iron Man was like, Ackerman, as much as I didn't love his other, I didn't love his Wildstorm book. I don't care about Wildstorm is the reason, I think. It's like he's a real writer, and it's crazy that you don't give him some more runway. But 10 issues is more than Metamorpho got. Heyo! So.
Yeah.
Anyway, buy Iron Man. I'll probably own that in print at some point, too. If they do a complete collection, especially. Now on to Image. I don't think any of these books will ever get my money. But actually, that's not true. I'll start with the Seasons. The Seasons, I did buy the first four issues for Azaceta.
The Seasons? Who did the
it's
Seasons?
It's Remender and Azaceta.
Okay. Hold on. First off, because I'm looking at this now. This is the sixth issue you've read. What possessed you to pick this book up?
So I actually bought the first four. I bought the first two because my shop owner handed them to me and said, read these and tell me what you think.
Okay.
And then he let me have them for free. So then I was like, I'm going to finish the arc. And it looks really nice. It's also very geared. It's kind of like anybody who read it would say I'm insane for saying this, but it feels like it's geared for kids, but like it's horror. Mm. But it's not like R.L. Stein. It's like everything about the universe or whatever the setting is. Like I could hand it to a child, but then it's like horror and I wouldn't hand that to a child. So it's a cool vibe. It's a cool vibe. And especially Azaceta was just easy to keep reading. And again, my digital pile, I dropped this book. I did not read issue 5, but like if I see it, I want it. So then I downloaded it and I did read it and it's fine. It's really fine. I don't have much more to say to it. Honestly, the story behind why it's on my list is more interesting than anything else. Rounding out the digital stuff, I got Power Fantasy 10. I am following this book because it's bad for my health. I don't enjoy it much.
So, Salt, this is what we have to start interrogating. This is the same team as...
Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt.
There we go, Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt. How does that make you feel, white boy?
No, I get it.
Makes me feel like this is the most revolutionary comic of this year.
So many people are saying
that. The Great Asian.
I'm reading it because people say that, and I have to be somebody who is just like, it's not that good. I'm really, it is very much a thing of like, I have to be able to read it to
say accurate to say hating.
It's not that
some
good.
Some might even say.
And even then, it's not even, I wouldn't even call it hating, in all honesty. I don't hate this book.
What's this
book
called
again? I just don't
think
it's very good. Power Fantasy.
See, you said Power Fantasy. I'm like, all right, that's the genre. What's the book called?
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's. So yeah, it's kind of an inertia read and also kind of a like, what are you guys talking about when you say this book is good? I don't see it. 10 was whatever. There's one more issue of the arc. We'll see how it goes. I am excited for Gil and Hans again, or more Die. I'm going to reread Die for that, but that's a whole other thing. The last digital book I have here is Exquisite Corpses. I was not planning on continuing to read this book. However, when I was at the shop this week, my shop owner, he didn't even recommend it, but he was like, oh, hey, Bishop Show is on this book. And it was Valentin de Landro.
Okay.
And it was a good issue.
Is this an anthology series or is Bishop Show?
So, Exquisite Corpses is disgusting. It's a disgusting concept. Okay. So Tinian, when he announced it and he did the Free Comic Book Day thing, he said he was looking at all the mini lines and he wanted to copy it. He wanted to copy the idea of like the Absolute and the Ultimate and the Energon line. And so he came up with this, which is sort of like an anthology. He him and Michael Walsh did the first two issues, and then I don't even know exactly how he's doing like round robin whatever nonsense he's doing for the rest of the series. I don't know if it's going to be different people every time, but it Pischetschutz's involvement does feel like a weird his idea of the round robin thing at Image failed, and then Michael Walsh was like, hey dude, come over here, we'll make you some money. And it does feel a little bit like that. So but it was a good issue. So
there's a character in this named Gamer Kid.
It looks
and his
awful.
Name Salt. Is spelled G4M3R_kid.
It's awful.
This is coming out the same time as World Tynan's Tree. Other book, World Tree, which is spelled W0RLDTR33, right?
Yeah.
That's heckin' epic bacon, man.
It's so bad. Yeah, no, this issue did not have any Gamer Kid in it. It did have a guy killing a bunch of kids at a hospital. A bunch of babies, sorry. A bunch of, like, newborn
Soon
babies
to be
at
gamer
a hospital.
Kids. Those, so, who knows how many of those babies could have grown up to be Gamer Kids.
We just keep dropping slurs on this episode.
Which slur did I say?
G word. We all said it with a hard R.
I'm sorry, Gee. all right, that rounds out my digital stuff, though.
All right, I'm going to stop you there.
Okay.
You've been talking a while. You've been talking good, but you need a break. Okay. Lan, your
digitals.
Oh,
we're doing round robin. I don't have any digitals, so...
All right, Keegan, back to you.
All right, I'm gonna skip. I'm gonna skip the ones that there's overlap, so that when Lan brings them up, I could say I already am getting that. Let me make sure. Okay. Oh no. Are you? Wait. Actually, Lan, I'm gonna break everything in the middle of this right now. Are you getting Ultimates?
I am getting Ultimates. I am getting Ultimates,
okay.
but you weren't
behind on it.
I wasn't behind on it. I'm actually really good at reading that one, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to read now.
We can talk about it in your section.
All right, then let's just start with Ultimates then. Ultimates 13, I think that was the last issue that came out. Maybe 14 came out. I don't know. I'm up to date.
That's the one with the 3.0 on the cover, right?
That was 13, yeah.
Yeah, that was 13, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Love the book. Love it. Denny's Camp. Mm-hmm. Multiple Denny's Camp things are going to be on here. Excuse me. Because I like it. So, yeah.
It's good. It's good comics. You
good
know,
book.
It's, yeah. Like, what else can you say? It's as good as everyone says it is. Which, unlike some of the other books that Keegan's been reading.
Fair.
Have you actually... I will question you on this. Have you been reading his Image series?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I forgot to include it on the list, so I just added it. I only read that in print. And I'm just going to go right into it. Ultimate's fine. Assorted Crisis Events. It is not a story. It's not a story. It is just a series of lessons. That's what that book is. And so for everybody who is really enjoying reading that book and understanding the themes of it, that's cool. Me too. It's not a story, though. I will keep probably, I don't know if I'm going to keep going after issue 5. Actually, it might move to digital and move into me not reading it. It's okay. It's okay.
I know
it's
you're not trying to be harsh, but I feel that calling a comic a series of lessons is such a heavier burn than saying it's bad.
Oh, I'm meaning that. It is the good Asian of this year. Yeah, yeah. No,
oh,
it absolutely
damn.
Is. It absolutely is.
Oh, damn. Okay.
I'm not going to say I don't enjoy it because the art is really, really good. But like the first four issues have like they're self-contained and whatever. But it's like it's not it is just like, yeah, I don't know. I will find the issue and it's a good issue. And I think like it's a good lesson. And even it's like told cool and like it's OK, but it really is not a story. It's not. And nothing thing about it is carrying over anything. I get what they're going for, and I get why people are praising it, and that's okay. Yeah. So, Sword of Crisis events, a series of lessons. That's what I
have to say. Series of lessons. Some Aesops.
Yeah.
Get it? Because you spell it ACE-OPS. Because the title of the book, Sword of Crisis Events, if you shorten it down, it's ACE.
Good job.
Saying that one for self, just in case.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Lynn.
I think Lynn, no,
I can remember how to spell again.
I mean, listen, we had to do quite a bit of spelling just like 5 minutes ago. So
We did. This is a spelling bee episode.
All right. Let's burn through a few. Marvel Swimsuit Special. Bought it because it was a Dauterman cover. I did read it. It's an absolute trash comic. Okay. But the pinups are great.
Yeah.
There's an Asrar one that's real good.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So actually, they got really cool artists for the pinups. Really, just kind of a garbage comic though. Bought it. I bought it. I wouldn't have bought it unless the Dauterman cover was on there though. Captain America 1, I think I really only bought this in print because there was a Zdarsky cover. And if my shop continues getting Zdarsky covers, I will continue buying it in print. As soon as it's not there, it will switch to digital, and then I might forget about reading it. We'll see.
So, my question to you, did Zdarsky beat the washed allegations?
I think his concept is really good. I don't think it's a great first issue. But I just read his Batman and I'm like, oh, this isn't literally until the last arc. I was like, this isn't as bad as anybody said. And then the last arc is bizarre. And it, cause sometimes in a good way, like the commissioner's cucking the mayor, and that kind of is sick.
Okay.
Jim Gordon cucked the mayor.
Hold on. Oh, wait, the commissioner is Gordon again?
No, sorry. I just called him commissioner. It is Jim Gordon. It is not the commissioner at the time.
Oh,
he's
okay,
a PI.
Okay.
But he did cuck the mayor. He did. And that's
he cucked
crazy.
The mayor.
He cucked the mayor. It's oh, really
you said the five words that could get me interested in a Batman book.
So, Jim Gordon cucked the mayor.
You, it's the last arc of Zdarsky's run. And it is bizarre. I think even me, a person who like I try to just read the thing and not think of the rest of the business part of comics because whatever. I was like, Chip had to buy time for Jim Lee, right? Like, there's no way this arc exists unless it was a last minute. We need you on here for 6 more months to buy us more time for Jim Lee to draw art for Hush 2. And I like asked somebody that I thought would maybe know that. And they were like, yeah, Zdarsky said that. It was a last minute ask. I'm like, oh
well,
my
that's
gosh.
What he said. But like, what if he had to do a bunch of normal seeming Batman comics just to squeeze this in? You know, like you gotta earn trust to do something like this.
Just hit him with the rug pull at the last moment.
I'm fine with that. There's some really dumb shit in that last arc that people really hate, and I don't hate it, but. The Cuck Mayor stuff is funny as shit. Oh, it's so funny. Yeah. Anyway, I guess next, The World to Come. I bought number one on a whim, and then I was only buying two comics this week, and The World to Come 2 was on the shelf, and it was the last one, so I grabbed it.
See, this is the one where I gotta like really start questioning your buying decisions, because
Oh, that's fair.
You know, absolute Batman. I joke around about it, but like this one is like, what, why?
Yeah, there's not really a rhyme or reason. I probably won't read the third one, but I might. It might happen. I'm only gonna buy it in print. I'm not gonna download it. I don't like care about what happens next, but buying it almost forces me to keep up with it. I don't know. It really was like I turned over, and it was the last issue of it, and I was just like, you know what, homie, I'm not gonna make you throw this away. You know, to my shop owner, I looked at him and I said, I'm going to buy this one for you. And then I did. So, not really enjoying it. It's funny as shit, but, T'Challa's white son is very funny. Very funny thing to be
His
happening.
His white son?
Yeah, man.
Hold on. T'Challa's so here's the thing. White son. I haven't heard Like, I know of the book's existence. I know that Quesada priest are writing this. This is the first time I'm hearing about a white son.
Yeah, what? T'Challa has a white son. You gotta... The second issue, it gives the dumbest explanation ever, too. It's really funny. I mean, it's not the dumbest. It's really funny. Priest is being really funny, and everybody who's like, this is a hilarious book, is right.
That sounds about right for, like, Priest Black Panther.
Yeah, yes. It is. The thing is, I haven't even read his Black Panther either. And it is 1,000% a continuation of that. As if it never ended, basically. Very funny book. And I think, yeah, no, it was just the last issue on the stand. And I was like, you know what? I did read number one. Let's see what number two is like. And it's funny. I don't know. We'll see. Depending on how light my reading is the week of issue three or in the week after issue three. Could mean I pick up the third one. I don't know. I fly up with the seat of my pants there. News from the Fallout. I have nothing to say about this book. I don't think I'll pick up the next one. It's okay. It looks really cool. Reading it was like breathing air in a bad way. Like, what is this? It's like breathing in the chip air and not eating any chips. That's it. That's all I have for that one. New Gods. The art is incredible on that book. Like,
but how's the story? So good.
I just don't like the New Gods enough to care. And
okay. Who's writing like New Gods?
Rom V. Oh. So that's...
So let me get this straight. You bought 8 issues of this run.
For the art.
For the art. All right.
It's for the art. It is. For the art. And I mean, yeah. I'm reading everyone and I'm going like this newest issue was, I really, really did like what was going on with it. It's cool. But I just, yeah, I don't care that much about the New Gods. And I think I would like to revisit this after I read some Kirby New Gods, I guess, is what I'll say. But yeah, I mean, really good art. And I'll keep the whole series for the art, basically. FML, love this book. Kelly Sue DeConnick and David Lopez. They were a team on Captain Marvel. A long time ago, like a decade ago at this point, and they're back together for this. It's very funny, and the art's just good. It's like the best David Lopez has ever done. I like that book a lot. The pair of Fantastic Four books, I actually read all of Ryan North's Fantastic Four last like 6 weeks.
Oh damn, okay.
And I kind of timed it with the release of the first new issue because I was like, all right, I want to give Ryan North Fantastic Four a real shot. Because I always talk shit about Ryan North. And like, it's a good series. It is. It's a solid book. This first issue was fine. I will not continue buying it in print, but I wanted to, partly because the Humberto Ramos's cover of Sue is like really funny to me. It's not like bad. It's just like this is just the whole thing. Then also the Fantastic Four First Steps, number one. Obviously that was for Fraction. I really like that book though. I really like that issue. The Mole Man is a union leader. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Now this will definitely inform your viewing of the movie, right?
Oh yeah, eventually. Sure.
I don't know. Yeah. Like it's all like the plot threads comic. From this will definitely carry on into
okay. I think like, you're lying to me. I assumed they weren't going to. I assumed they wouldn't carry over at all.
I mean,
all.
I don't know, because I haven't read the
That's
the comics.
Hilarious. I've read the comic. You watched the movie together. We have...
Yeah, if we put our minds together, we can actually create the perfect Fantastic Four experience.
All right. Now, rounding out the end. Now, I'm saving two for the end, because I think those two actually deserve some amount of highlight. So, Batman and Robin. Love the series. These are not the last two, by the way. There's a different last two. Batman Robin 8 and 9. Great series. Love the series. Somni. I think Somni just like brings something out in a way that makes him much better. I'll buy every issue. I've bought some. I think I bought the first issue multiple times because I'm an idiot. And then Absolute Batman. Absolute Batman 10. Love this book. I think... Similar way, I think that Dragotta brings out whatever good abilities Cider has. I think Dragana makes those there. Yeah. Okay. I like it. 10 was crazy. The Bane stuff has been really, like, they're pulling from a few different interesting places for Bane here. That is cool. And to my last two, technically one of these is a digital, but I bought the first issue in print, and then the second issue sold out on my shop before I could get it. So, and that's Crypto. I really like the series. I think this is the most I've liked Ryan North.
Mike Norton. Mike Norton. Okay, that's a good combo. God damn.
It's a really good team on this book that I like. It's only two issues in, and I love it. I really do. It's fantastic. I don't know. The first issue is one of my favorite issues of the year. And then the whole series almost certainly will be one of my favorites. And then Sleep is Xander Cannon. Xander Cannon doing everything. It's three issues in. Really good. Really good. I think it'll read better as a trade. So, you know, get it once that happens. But I'm buying it monthly because creators will die if you don't buy their books.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it.
And that was my long-ass list, my B.
Yeah, okay, so that was, 27 issues?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess now is my turn. Please consult the list. I want you guys to pick from the list.
Okay, well, I'm most interested in the one that nobody knows about.
Okay.
Is this Armored?
So, yeah. So, just for context here, this is the accumulation of about 2 years worth of read pile. The oldest book on this list is from August of 2023. These are all in print. These are all books that I bought with my own money. And today we're going to question why. So, Armored Number One has a nice story to it. My copy of Armored Number One is signed by the author. The writer himself, Michael Schwartz. So what happened was one day I walked into my local comic shop and the writer was there with a desk. He was doing a signing there. I had no idea that this was happening. I just walked into it and I was like, oh, hey, the thing is, he made eye contact with me the second I walked in.
Yeah.
Second I walked in, I was like, yeah. Damn it.
He was ready to sell.
He was ready to sell. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he had the book. I was like, hey, so what's the deal here? What's going on here? And then I think I talked to him for about a minute, which by that point, I think you're kind of damned to just not walk away. So out of guilt, I was like, you know what? I might as well just give it a shot. So I picked up the first issue and then, you know, bought it alongside whatever else I was buying at the time. He was nice enough to sign it. And then I just didn't feel compelled to read it until yesterday. And I think the big thing for me is the cover really undersells the book. Peace and love to Nick Batara. He had that one good book with Hickman, and he went on a homophobic rant that everyone seems to have forgotten about. I didn't forget. I'll never forget. Nick Batara, I know what you are.
I didn't even realize that was him. Wait.
Yeah, so the cover is by Batara, and I think it really undersells how interesting the art inside of the book is.
How not homophobic the art inside of the book.
I like the art inside of the book. It's got a very European bande dessinée style vibe to it. I think my takeaway for this book is that which book was it that you said that would be good for kids of the books that you read?
The Seasons.
The Seasons. Much in the way that The Seasons probably wasn't written with a child audience in mind, I think this book would work best as a Scholastic comic.
I had the same thought.
In the same way that Bone was, you know, technically a more mature book, but, you know, was a Scholastic comic. So I did feel kind of bad that the second time that he signed at the comic shop, I realigned my visit to, you know, not visit not at the same time. But you know what? I am willing to give this one another shot when the trade paperback comes out. When it's on the shelf.
It's on the shelf, but not when I have to buy it from him.
Yeah. Yeah. I would prefer no middleman between me and the book. But, you know, I did enjoy it way more than I was expecting to. I just think that you should have just gone with a different cover artist. You know, I think Patara really does, really, like, it's not to say that Patara's art is bad. It just really undersells the vibe of the book.
Yeah, you seem like you're selling your book on Zoop or whatever, you know. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah.
Ooh, what do we? What?
A little bit of nastiness to it.
Yeah.
So that's I say this.
I say this as objectively as possible. That's not a good cover by Patara.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not like Patara's
like his other art is
call...
objectively better, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Right, right, right. Like this feels phoned in. Like that cover feels phoned in.
Yeah.
So that's armor number one. What's next?
You could do all the Ultimate books if you want. I don't know.
Sure, yeah, there's only one of each. So there's Ultimate Spider-Man and then Ultimate Spider-Man Incursion number two. So technically Incursion number two came out this month, so it's not that old.
Oh, keep it up.
Good job. I know. It's only the one issue. But
it's easier to...
You know, I think it's fine. It's a book that's fine. Like, it's fun enough. I think there are some really good moments with Hank Pym in this issue specifically. I don't know if I would consider it to be, like, essential reading, even though Denise Kemp is co-writing it. But it's a fun enough, like, book to have on the side. So not really regretting picking it up, I guess. Ultimate Spider-Man number 18. My first note on this is a Chetto drawn issue, so I'm safe from the discourse. I think Chichetto's talking head segments here are kind of bland in some parts, but you know, when he gets to like the real superheroing in the back half of the issue, I think that's where the real magic happens for this issue. I found this one to be more of like a setup issue in some ways, which is fine for an issue of a regular mainline Marvel run, but I think that's my thing with the format of the Ultimates comics, is that like with each issue taking over 1 month specifically and there being a month gap between each issue, like narrative wise, it has me questioning when there are like setup issues or breather issues, because it feels like, you know, oh, that's the month gone, you know, like you've spent your June setting up what's going to happen in July.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm enjoying it. It's fine. It's good.
Yeah. I think the monthly conceit also like pigeonholes what the book can be, right? I'm kind of like the Ultimates shtick also kind of feels like it's getting long in the tooth. You know, I like a single issue comic, but it's also like, how long can you really do this for? And I think that is part of why
It's tough because I think it works best with the Ultimates because that is very much like we're telling a single contained story in each issue. There is an overarching narrative thread, but that's not like key to what's going on. And it doesn't feel like you're wasting time, I guess. Mm-hmm. And in this one, it does sort of feel that way.
Yeah. Especially, I think like you want to hang out with the family is part of it, and it's like a monthly book like that, you can't hang out with the family.
Exactly. I'm like, I want to see what J. Jonah Jameson's doing. You can't give me a really fun gay uncle J. Jonah Jameson and then, you know, relegate him to only like a couple pages in the beginning.
Okay, Lan, here's what I'm wondering.
What are you wondering?
Why did you read one issue of Martian Manhunter, absolute Martian Manhunter, and then let issues 2-5 sit in a pile? Or why buy
busy.
Issues 2-5?
I got busy. I got busy. No, that's okay. Literally all it was. Absolute Martian Manhunter number one. I loved it. Damn, this is good. This is really good. And then
insane final page turn.
incredible final page turn.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't wait to read more of this. And then I kind of just forgot to read more of it. So, and yeah, my take on this, it's as good as everyone says it is. Like,
yeah,
Denise Kemp truly doing the most. My first note on this one actually is, thank God it's woke.
So good. So funny.
And then my second note is, I saw an ad for a Trinity miniseries from Tom King while reading this. Awful. And then all my notes are like related to the ads for some reason. Like the last issue 5, my notes on that one are latest issue has a cover ad that just says Nicholas Holt is Lex Luthor. Later in the issue, there's one that says Rachel Brosnahan is Lois. And then it ends with an ad that just says Crypto. And then an ad comic for Worlds Collide, which I believe is one of their new video games. Not the funniest video game ad that I've seen while reading this, reading through this pile. But yeah, absolute Martian Manhunter. Camp and Rodriguez just truly doing the best. It's the only absolute book I'm reading. So yeah.
It's the best one for sure.
It's the best one, absolutely.
Which, yeah. I'm also pulling this. I have this series. So yeah, that's great.
But you didn't you didn't let as many issues lapse as I did.
No, I read it monthly. Yeah. It goes to the top of the read pile and I read it normally in the week it comes out, at least. It's insane to me that they're actually letting him take months off between 6 and 7.
See, the thing that I'm concerned about there, because originally this was meant to be a 6-issue miniseries, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. When I heard that it was getting renewed for a second set of 6, my first thought was the Rom V. Who was the artist on that one? Anandarke? No.
Oh,
Swamp Thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, damn it. This is the guy who did Lois Lane.
Mike Perkins. Yeah. Yeah. So my fear was that this would go down that same route where when it comes back, people aren't as, hype about it, I guess.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm not on Twitter, so I'm not hearing any of it, but people in Discords that I'm in always go on about it.
I think back halves of series tend to do that anyway. There's just less hype as soon as that first trade is out, I think. But yeah, I mean, I think that's fair to be worried about. It's cool that they're like, no, we're going to give Rodriguez enough time to do 12 issues of this. And I'm like, oh, that's sick. That's actually like a cool thing, especially given like both the bigger absolute titles like Wonder Woman and Batman sell really well, have done fill-in artists, and they're great. I love Walta. I love Marcos Martin on Batman. I can't remember their name on Wonder Woman, but the non-Sherman issues also looked really good. But it's also really cool that as part of this line, they'll go, you know what? We're going to let you take a break and do this with the whole creative team intact. That's really cool. I like it.
Also, I don't know if this is the case with the other ones, but I'm surprised by how nothing has reared from the larger absolute thing into this. Like, you could take the absolute off of this book and it would change nothing.
Yeah, most of them have. Absolute Superman has kind of started mentioning, not actually events though, just some stuff. I don't know about Flash or Green Lantern. I will not read those, but they're building up towards something. I think the mainline is actually going to bear a lot of that weight though, because like Superman right now is doing the dumb Legion of Darkseid stuff, so it'll eventually bleed over, but we'll see. I don't know.
All right, boys, which ones
next
do you wanna...
land let's go over Sophie's books, starting with Supergirl.
I picked this one up because Sophie, I was like, yo, I'm gonna try this out, and then I forgot to read it. I feel you're gonna find that for quite a few of these, the bottom line is I forgot to read it. But this first issue was enough for me to want to go into back issue bins, pick up the ones that I've missed, and put this book on my pull list. It was that good. Yeah. I'm gonna keep my thoughts about the other Supergirl to myself. They are positive, but I don't think they're appropriate for this podcast. Good book. Good
she book. Hot. She hot, fellas.
I mean, shit.
She,
you know?
She got size, yo. It's crazy.
All I can say is that Hollywood is too cowardly to make that Supergirl in live action.
It's true.
It's true.
Yeah, I love this series. If we had that Supergirl in a movie, we could have world peace.
Truly. Yeah. Truly. No, truly. Yo. Truly. Good book. So the other one is Mothra. So I read the first issue of this one, and then issues 2 to 4, I
forgot to read.
No, this one was one where I was like, I don't feel like this is a 5-issue miniseries. And I think what I found is it's hard to distinguish between which ones are better read month by month and read one at a time. And I think this is one where I would have rather read it all at once.
I agree.
You know, there's some really good kaiju action. I think Matt Frank's art is fun. You know, it's very, very emotive. Story is fine. And I do like when Sophie gets to come in and do like a one page of her own with her own art. But yeah, I don't know if I would call it essential reading, but it is a fun read.
I need to say something because I've read approximately 2% of the comics we've talked about here. And this is one of them. I've followed Matt's art for a while, so I'm going to be more glowing in my review. And Matt has always been good at kaiju, but what really struck me on this book is how much better he is at drawing people, drawing their expressions, drawing their poses. Yeah. Like, he's really come up.
Yeah, so yeah, fun book. But yeah, one that I think I probably could have just waited for the trade, if anything.
Yeah, it's better in one go, I feel too. All right, next, Transformers.
I don't know why I read this series monthly. I feel like this is definitely a book that... No, and I mean this positively. I think it reads better in trade, just because it is very ongoing with its narrative. Like, it's weird. If you don't remember what happened a month ago in an issue, the reading experience of like reading the issues monthly is like, oh yeah, I have to remember what happened last issue. All right, that happened. Okay, so we're doing this. Right, that character is also here. So if anything, I feel like I've been damned by not letting this one lapse and letting some of the other books on this list lapse. Like, the months where I wasn't reading Martian Manhunter, I probably could have not been reading this instead, is what I'm saying. Like, from April to July of 2025, I could have just put Transformers on my read pile and just left it there.
That's so good. And then
been reading Absolute Martian Manhunter monthly instead.
Oh, that's awesome. All right,
so the one that I'm particularly curious about is Get Fury, and I'm curious about the politics of it mainly.
It's so, have you read Fury My War Gone By?
No.
Have you read Punisher Born?
No.
Have you read any Ennis Punisher?
No. Not since like his aughts work.
Okay, so nothing with the war in Vietnam. I picked this up because it's Ennis, it's a war comic, and there's a very high chance that the trade will sell out, you know, within like a month, and it'll never be able to buy it, because the thing is, this is a Marvel Max comic, so it will never be available on any other streaming stuff. Like, it's not going to be available on Marvel Unlimited because they're stupid like that. So this is one where I did feel compelled to buy it issue by issue. And yeah, it's more of Garth Ennis in Vietnam, I'd say. Like, if you liked Fury My War Gone By, you'll like this. The politics are... like it's not a leftist comic by any means.
No, I wasn't expecting it to be leftist. I guess like what I'm curious about is like, I think there's a certain kind of author who's going to try to say something about Vietnam.
And you there can is agree a lot it. About American imperialism, and I think that's yeah. where the strengths are. Like Fear of My yeah. War Gone By goes a bit harder on that, actually. But this yeah. does deal with the elements of like the drug trade, the American, you know, influence on South Vietnam, right. you know, like the damage, the consistent damage and the lasting damage that the American Empire has left, while also not being fully on the side of the North Vietnamese. So it's a good war comic. And one thing I will say, Marvel, you sacks of shit. Why is this more gorier than any of your Red Band comics?
Oof.
Okay, Salt, do you know about the Red Band comics?
No. What
so Marvel's recently started doing this thing, this phenomena, we'll call it, phenomenon, called the Red Band comic, where
it's a Red Band edition.
Red Band edition, sorry. Red Band edition. So you have a regular Marvel comic, and then you have the Red Band edition. And what the Red Band edition is it's a presumably more gorier, more salacious version of that same comic. So I think this started with their vampire event last year, Blood yeah. Hunt. They did this with Wolverine Revenge, which is the Hickman Capullo thing that Capullo ruined his professional working relationship with with his longtime colorist for. None of the Red Band books, all one of them that I've read, come close to the level of gore and viscera that is in this book. And this is the book that's been edited by Nick Lowe. So what's the deal? What's going on? Why not? Listen, if you're going to give me a quote unquote R-rated Wolverine book, I need it to be gorier. I need it to be like, you can't.
It's true.
It's so that's,
yeah, no. I think the Red Band stuff is already done anyway. I think they failed.
They realize
it's
a wash.
They're gambit. Like, well,
yeah. I can't wait for Marvel Max to come back when they decide they have enough money for another Nick Fury or another Punisher, and they bring Garth Ennis back with
just Garth Ennis.
Jason Burrows. I will say Jason Burrows, not his best work, but still pretty good. Still pretty good.
Heard.
All right, next, Magneto.
So this is the oldest book on this list. The first issue of this book came out in August 2023. The last issue came out in November of 2023. So the deal here is that it's J.M. DeMatte and Todd Knock. So J.M. DeMatte has been doing a bunch of minis for Marvel set in previous eras of existing runs. So I was picking up all his Spider-Man minis. I think he did like two or three of those. And those ones I actually did read monthly, surprisingly enough. I read those as they were coming out, and I finished them all, and they were great. J.M. DeMatte has such a talent for internalizing characters. So it's really interesting to see him go back to eras of, like, in Spider-Man's case, like, not well-regarded eras, like the Clone Saga era. There's a mini that takes place during that period of time. And he does such a good job of, you know, internalizing these characters, making these characters go through, like, and question their humanity. Magneto is no different. I think the main reason why I put it off, X-Men book.
Fair.
Again, thinking about the time that this came out, 2023, we're in the middle of Fall of X, truly the nadir of X-Men comics. So I just did not feel compelled to read that. And then that just sunk to the bottom of my list, and I just stayed there. the funniest thing about reading this now is seeing ads for books that have long since finished.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
So there's an ad for the Straczynski Captain America run, which ended like earlier this year. There's Uncanny Spider-Man, which is one of the Fall of X books. The last issue has a banner ad for the Marvels, the movie The Marvels. And then I guess in my note on the art, you know, it's Todd Knock doing Todd Knock. It's fine. It's good. Rochelle Rosenberg colors Roberto Da Costa with dark skin. I said Blee could never do that.
It looks so wet if he did.
Yeah, you're light skin Roberto. I like this one. I'll just wait until he does a Spider-Man one again. I think that's what I've resolved. It's like, I appreciate Jam DeMatte. I'm glad that Marvel keeps giving him work. I just don't think that X-Men... I just don't think I can go back to X-Men for a while. That's Magneto 2023.
All right, we have... Oh, sorry, Keegan. Oh,
sorry. Go ahead, Saul.
I was going to say, I feel like we have three left. We have Imperial, Metamorpho, and Hellblazer.
Yes. So which one do you want to...
Imperial.
So I am a freak. I am a freak about Cosmic Marvel in particular. This has been an affliction that's affected me for well over a decade, maybe even coming close to two decades. I have a very specific fondness for Annihilation. And so whenever anyone speaks about it and it's less than positive, I just tune it out. It's just noise to me. I'm very particular about Cosmic Marvel. And I think, I don't know if I'm protective over it, but I think it takes a lot for me to be impressed by it, I guess, especially in the modern day. It feels like we had the dark ages between like 2013 and 2017-ish, which is, you know, as a 4-year span, it's not that long. But Imperial was one where it was touted as like the beginning of a new era for Cosmic Marvel, headed by Jonathan Hickman. And I think that would have been a much better sell before 2019. Because, you know, like, it's not that he hasn't made it work with the Ultimate line. But I think with how Hickman's been moving over the past couple of years, it's tough to see this as more than just another book. And that's part of the reason why I put it off. I say put it off. The first issue only came out last month. It didn't have the sort of gravita, I guess, that House of X Powers of 10 had when they came out. And the thing is, you're never going to get that from Cosmic Marvel. You're never going to get something on the level of like Hoxpox or an Ultimate Invasion even out of this. But what you're left with here is a pretty good book. I did enjoy it. I think there are... I feel embarrassed because my first note was, there are beats here that set up various one-shots for the series, but unlike Annihilation, I don't feel compelled to read any of the ones that aren't written by Dan Abnett. Then I saw there was a Black Panther tie-in from Victor Laval, and I added it to my pull list like a chump. And then by the time I finished reading the second issue, I also added the Nova one-shot written by Jed McKay to my pull list like a chump, just to see how it would be. Just to give it a chance. I don't think any of the tie-ins are necessary. I think much like a really good event, you can read this on its own and have a strong, cohesive story without reading anything else tied to it. It's a compelling story. It's got a compelling hook to it. And I find it really fascinating that they're going back to building up Black Panther as an intergalactic force, which, you know, after Ta-Nehisi Coates' run wasn't really expounded on, I guess. I don't know, Keegan, did you read the Ridley run?
No, but it didn't factor into the Ridley run at all. I think I read the first trade, but it's been mentioned like in The Last Annihilation that it's one of the factions.
Empire, they were still there, but this is the first time where it feels like they're really pushing for that intergalactic push again. Which I found interesting, but yeah, it's the kind of book that appeals to a very specific kind of freak, and that specific kind of freak is me. So, yeah, Imperial, good book.
All right, I saved these two for the last because I thought they might be the funniest. First, we have Metamorpho. All right, very good. Ready to move on?
No. Hold on. I've got notes. I've got notes on Metamorpho. I'm trying to remember why I put this on my pull list.
This is already pretty funny. This is what I wanted.
What possessed me to put this on my pull list and then not read it until months after it ended? That is a fascinating question. You know, it's that Akewood comic. You know the one where the Akewood comic where he says why'd you send a check for $10,000 to Oreos, and then he responds I like their product, I wanted them to have a little walking around money.
Well, I mean, like, this does have a cool team on it.
It's a cool team for sure, and I think, you know, with it being a comedic tinged book, you know, I think it would play into both Lieber's strengths as well as Ewing's strengths. And Ewing especially, that's a strength that hadn't been really touched on for quite some time. I think, like, with the caliber of books that he's been working on for the past, like, I don't know, 7 years, people forget he can write some really good funny comics too. This book is a perfect example of that. Like, it's really funny. It's got a very 60s vibe to it. Even though there are smartphones. Good book. I'm glad I paid the money to keep my local comic shop afloat, and I'm sure that this probably won't get more, which is a shame. It occupies the same space in my mind as that recent X-Statics revival from Milligan and Allred. Like, it's the same kind of like, oh, we can keep doing this if you buy more of it, and then people don't buy more of it, and then it gets left as a footnote. But thank you, James Gunn, Superman, for the brand synergy that allowed this book to come to fruition. Yeah, that's Metamorpho. I should note that came out between December 2024 and May 2025.
Well, so, the most recent issue isn't that old. This is not as weird as your 2023 books.
Yeah, no, with this one, I think it's just the fact that I read nothing of it. Like, you know, Absolute Martian Manhunter, I read the first issue. Mothra, I read the first issue, right? This one, I just didn't. Oh, and with Get Fury, I read the first two issues already. Like, the first two issues were a reread for me. Metamorpho, I didn't read a single issue until yesterday, so.
You just trade-weighted the other way.
I just trade-weighted the other way. You know, I enjoy letters. Get Fury, actually, was
on
great
on a long
for
enough timeline, it's all trade-weighting.
It's true.
True. Yeah, true.
All right, last book from Lan. Hellblazer, Dead in America, 1 through 11.
Let's go.
1 through 11.
Yo, what's up with that 11 there?
When did 11 come out?
11 came out in December 2024. Yeah, December 2024. So I had read and picked up the previous Hellblazer run by this team, Spurrier and Campbell. Loved it. That was, what, 3-4 years ago? When
something
was
that like
run?
That. I mean,
yeah,
it was
something like that.
I feel like it ended. It was a while ago.
Spurrier Hellblazer. Let's see. January 2021? No, that can't be right. Oh, maybe it is right. 2020, holy.
Yeah, because I remember, I feel like I during some part of COVID was when everybody was like, buy the trades, yeah. Buy the trades, whatever, to get like.
Everyone was reading this. So this was 2019 yeah. to 2020.
Okay.
God damn. And then you had a 4-year span between that book and this book,
mm-hmm.
which I think hurt it already. Just the fact mm-hmm. that it was a 4-year gap between the two. Technically, they're two volumes, right?
Yeah.
So there was that. And so I wasn't compelled to read it because I wanted to go back and reread that, the mm-hmm. first one first before I reread this. Because
that makes sense.
My fears were absolutely confirmed mm. when I read the first issue and found out that it was picking up exactly where the last one left off, which is already a great start. Why? Well, hold on. First off, why would you do that when you have a 4-year gap between books? Oh yeah, yeah, sure. You can go read it, but why? Why force me to do that? You know why? Gotta go back and read a 4-year-old book?
Yeah.
Just to know where we're at.
My other thing about some of that is that he did Diet Hellblazer with Damn Them All, and I love Damn Them All. I'm not saying Diet Hellblazer in a bad way, but I'm saying like he stopped having the ability to do Hellblazer. So then he went over to Boom with Charlie Adler and was like, hey, can I do a Hellblazer book for you with you guys? He did that for a year. So like he was already scratching that itch, the Hellblazer itch. And then it was like when you come back exactly where you left off too and not come up with a new thing. Weird choices. I don't know. Did you see Twin Peaks, sir? I don't think you did. I don't think you watched Twin Peaks. That's the issue.
So that was already painting, you know, this, and that's why I put off reading it for the first few months, I'd say. And then the allegations came out about Neil Gaiman.
Mm.
That was what, mid-2024, right? Like the ones that really like put the nail in the coffin, right?
Yeah.
So when that happened, I was already like a book I was already put off reading just sank, like plummeted to the bottom of the read pile for me, which is really no fault of the creators. It just sucks because not only does this book have Sandman Universe plastered at the front, Dream of the Endless is a very significant character in this book.
Yeah.
So there was that. I think this is one that I would have benefited from reading monthly, because I feel like if I had read this monthly, I probably would have had that moment of lucidity to take it off my pull list around the halfway mark. Because it's fine, like the first half of this run is fine. It's the artwork's fantastic. Campbell's doing the most. He's fantastic. Story's kind of whatever. There are some good like one-off issues in there. And then it just falls off a cliff. Like those last three, four issues, just a complete mess, a total mess. I appreciate them making Etrigan look like Donkey Kong, but this was one of the books of all time. And I, you know, up until now, I want to say, even though I've put off a lot of these books for up to 2 years, I don't think I've regretted picking up any of them. Like Armored Number One, don't regret picking that one up. Magneto, don't regret picking that one up. I think this is the first book in this list that I do have regrets about.
Is it safe to say that the regrets stem from the fact that it's A, referencing 4-year-old source material, and B, buried the lead here a little bit, the fact that the source material is heavily referencing a sexual predator?
Well, the source material isn't necessarily, like, the thing is, I don't remember too much from the previous one. I remember liking it. I remember it was good. But I don't think it was as heavily mired in Sandman stuff as this one was.
I don't think it was, but I also...
Like, I know there was some Sandman stuff in there, but this one really feels like it's, like, in deep.
Yeah, the Sandman stuff is extremely... It's a lot of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. Like, I think it's a tainted book, which isn't necessarily Spurrier and Campbell's faults. And I just don't think it's a good follow-up to what came before. So a bit of column A, bit of column B.
I'm just saying, damn them all rules.
Yeah, see, just like how Supergirl pushed me to put some more Supergirl on my pull list, and Imperial pushed me to put 2 one-shots on my pull list, this has pushed me to go find issues of Damn Them All. So I guess we take our small victories where we can.
Yeah, well, I think... Oh, all right. What are you saying, Saul? All right.
No, what are you saying? Then I'll tell you what I'm
saying.
What are
the things I thought about with this, especially because Damn Them All. Like, Damn Them All is at least as good as that first Hellblazer run, I think. And I loved that first Hellblazer run. That run's awesome.
It's a really good run. Like that's the thing. It's the a really good issue, run. Issue.
I don't remember the whole run. Right. I don't remember the, like, entire arc that Constantine goes through, but the unicorn issue is one that sticks out. I could go buy that issue and throw it in my like issues of that year folder. Right, a good book. Damn Them All, I think, stands up with it, but I actually do remember it. And I just think, like, homie, don't leave a franchise and come back. That's kind of what I
it's
think.
It's tough,
you know,
to do it without, like, it's tough to do it and do it in a way where you're just picking up where you left off.
Yeah.
Like, when you have 4 years of time between the end of the last one and this one, I think you do need to spend more time reacclimating people to the status quo, I guess.
Yeah. And the person I thought of that was the same, especially it's the... You leave, you do a diet version, and then you come back is especially the issue, because it's like you kept everything sharp, but it is still different. And what I the comparison was Gillen, right? X-Men, Wictive, which is basically Diet X-Men, back to X-Men. And it's like, yeah, I don't care, man. You've already said everything you have to say about the X-Men. You've already said everything you have to say about Hellblazer. Like... Do more Damn Them All, which you own, or like just shut up, man. Go on to the Flash, dude. That's kind of...
Hold on. Just for... You said Damn Them All was a boom book, right?
It is a boom book, yeah. So he might not own it.
So he partially owns.
Like, yeah, you know, that's true. That's fair. Maybe Adler didn't want to do it anymore, but I feel like he did. He was like promoting that book a lot. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, this is where I would say I've gotten through my entire read pile, but I haven't. And the reason for that is there's one more series that I've been pulling for the past year and some.
Oh,
that
God, I'm twist.
12, 13 issues behind on. And that series we will be covering on its own. Because for the past year and some, I have been pulling Immortal Thor, and I've only read up to issue 12. So I'm going to go back, reread the first 12 issues, and then read the remaining 13, and we're going to talk about it in another episode.
Yeah, next week you'll hear us talk about Agent of Asgard, so that'll be building up toward a good old Immortal Thor episode eventually.
Yeah, this is like the post-credit scene, you know, where we come back to the read pile and we see 13 more issues just sitting on the read pile, and you're like, wait a second, there was more? And then, you know, the camera pans over the pile and you just see the cover of Immortal Thor issue 13.
Well, today was an episode for learning, growing, holding people accountable. Lan and Keegan both got to finally blaze through those reed piles. They are more learned, wiser, better men than they were before. And I remembered why I don't read monthly comics anymore, because that is very stressful for me.
Good for you. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. Salt wants all his local comic shops to die brutal
deaths. I want the artists to starve. I'm against art. We are becoming a pro AI podcast.
Because AI doesn't put out single issue of comics.
All right, I think this is a main feed. Are we doing the Tastemakers grab bag?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Cool. You guys got your thangs?
I got my thangs. Keegan, you got my thangs?
I do.
You got that thang on you?
Whoa, oh, yeah. It's right here.
All right. Keegan, let's start with you.
All right. I've been making a list. So for the next while, I'll have quite a few things that I actually am remembering. Trying to pick the funniest ones. All right. First up is going to be Spy Kids 2.
Only
Spy Kids 2. Don't watch 1 or 3, okay? 3 is awful. I watched this it's noir, okay? It's noir, so it's bad. I watched this with my 11-year-old niece. And Spy Kids 2, I was like, it's a children's movie. It's a children's movie. But I was like, this is solid. It's really funny. It's like very aware of how dumb it's being and how funny it is. And it was definitely nostalgia filled, but it was also like, again, 1 and 3, I was just like, I'm not fucking with this. But 2, I was like, I'm sitting up. This is fun. So I am going to throw Spy Kids 2 in there. And then I've been rereading the series Lazarus because it came back. So I read the first 3 volumes. The 4th just came in the mail. It rules. It's so sick. I think it's my favorite Image book of the 2010s, like of that whole crop, of all those books that came out. I think Lazarus is my favorite. It's a little dad history, but it looks sick, and they just, it's like intricately planned, but also they've taken so many breaks between issues that it feels like it's had to have changed. And I don't know, it's just, it rules. I love reading that book. I love rereading that book. And even if you're like, I don't want to wait another year for more, like just that first trade, I think it's perfect. I think it's like a perfect 100 pages of comic, and, I love it. I love that book. So that's it for me.
Cool. I can go next. I have 2 recommendations. One is a movie. It's called The Penguin Lessons.
I know this one.
It's really good.
Is it?
It's awesome. I love it so much. Yeah, it's an anti-fascist film about penguins. God. It rocks.
Oh my God.
It's got Steve Coogan. That's all you need to know.
I saw that and I was like, yo, that seems like an interesting... I had no idea.
I was like, all right, I don't know what this is. Because they build it as one of those movies about, oh, this teacher has to tame an unruly classroom. And that's like maybe 5% of it. And I also thought the penguin was going to be CG. No. Real penguin. Real whole movie.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. 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 Perfect movie. Holy 5 out of 5. Yeah. Can't recommend it enough. I think we need more anti-fascist movies with real animals in them.
Yeah, take note, Superman with your stupid ass CGI dog.
Yeah,
Penguin Lessons
throwing that
is
shade.
Where it's at.
It is. I would take Penguin Lessons over Superman any day.
There we go. Definitive statement right there.
Yeah. So that's my first rec. My second rec is a musician named Hyphen.
A lot of people have heard about Bob Villain. Bob Villain is great. I love Bob Villain. Hyphen has been touring with Bob Villain across the UK. And I really love a lot of Hyphen's music, but I want to read the bio he posted on Spotify. His official bio says, "The morning commute feels like getting punched in the penis by a mallet and asking the man with a mallet if he'd like to do it again after the weekend."
That's real good. That's good. Poetry.
He's
That's
really funny. Stuff. So yeah, check out Hyphen. He's like a blend of punk rock and rap. That's it for me.
Nice. Okay, so from my end, you recommend some real good feel-good recommendations. The first thing I'm going to recommend, I would classify as a feel-bad romantic drama. It's The Real Thing by Koji Fukada. It stars Murasaki Win, the guy who did the opening theme for Avatar of Sentai Dawn Brothers, and was also that one guy from Ready Player One. Neither of that is relevant to this. It is very deceptive about its premise. You think it's going to be like a really cute romantic drama, and then it just punches you in the gut. It like really digs in and forces you to watch a 4-hour long train wreck between two very imperfect people trying to escape the mundanity of middle class life. Yeah, just don't go in expecting a good time, but I felt very profoundly affected by it. So I'm going to recommend that. And then on a lighter note, I'm going to recommend a video game. And that video game is Grapple Dogs Cosmic Canines. It's a really fun 2D platform. Kind of wish I waited to play it on the Nintendo Switch 2 because it's not that great on Nintendo Switch 1, but it's really fun. Great platforming, really fun music, really cute aesthetic, and overall a very enjoyable time. I think you can finish it in like 8 hours or something. Good game. Good game. That's it for me. That's it for my recommendations this week.
Cool. That was Tastemaker's Grab Bag.
Are you going to do the spiel?
No, this is really stressful for me. You're better at it.
Oh, god damn it. I don't even have the spiel up on...
Okay, I'll do my version of the spiel.
Wait, I have a question real quick.
Do you want to do the spiel? Is that your question?
Sure, sure. Common ride along.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be on... advertise that.
We should put that at the front, though.
We should have done that at the front, yeah, you know.
If you know if only there was some way this could be reassembled and that could be, but you know, it's too late for that.
We can't reassemble it. No, the thing is, like, the way we're talking about it now, we can't reassemble it. Like, we can't put this rambling at the beginning of the episode.
We couldn't take, a 30-second break and then record something and then put that at the front. That moment is gone.
That's too much effort. That's too much editing. You're asking a lot for me.
Maybe instead, okay, wait, maybe we do, like, a short thing that's, like, announcing Common Ride Along for the main feed.
Sure. Yeah.
You have to go to Patreon. You have to go to Patreon. Yeah. No. Sorry. But I'm like, that should comment right along. Should be part of the spiel. But then it's like we should have front loaded comment right along.
We'll find a way to front load it. We'll do a recorded segment and we'll run it for like a month until people realize that yes, they can listen to Kamen Rider Long, which is great. You don't even need to watch a single episode of Kamen Rider, because the whole thing with that series is that we do that for you.
Yeah, and then we're eliminating them. It's gonna be fun.
It is fun to the death.
It's been fun. Anyway,
good news. I got the spiel, guys.
Okay,
I got the spiel. Folks, if you liked this episode, if you liked the zany antics of this episode, just know it's made possible thanks to viewers, listeners, readers just like you. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/midnightgrapplerAnimals. $2 a month gets you episodes a week earlier, maybe even earlier, much earlier than that, than the public. And $5 a month gets you not only that, but our entire backlog of bonus episodes and our Patreon exclusive series are also on there, as well as access to exclusive channels. All that can be found in the link in the description below. That's patreon.com/midnightgrapplerAnimals. You can also support us by giving us a good review on your podcast app of choice and tell your friends. Go on social media. Be like, I listened to this episode. I listened to these guys. I watched these guys in my mind. In my mind's eye, I saw these three guys converse. Did you imagine me as white? I'll kill you if you imagine me as white. Tell us, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies, listen to us, give us traction. We like traction. And if you got questions, comments, or suggestions for the show, you can email us at midnightgrapplerAnimals@gmail.com. And if you want to find any other links, like our Discord server, our Blue Sky pages, anything else that I feel compelled to put in there, you can find that in the description of this episode. There we go. We got to revise that spiel at some point. Not today, though. Not today. Coming right along. And as always,
keep on grappling.
We've done so many episodes of Kamen Rider Along that you guys forgot. Almost forgot.
Yeah, I did almost say vroom vroom.
See, I did not forget, but I had to resist the impulse to say vroom vroom. I wanted to say it so bad.
Yeah, it brewed up.
I do Kamen Rider Along as an excuse to say vroom vroom into a microphone.
Uh-huh.